The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep, with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode. So search Sleepwave on your favorite podcast app and find out why over a million people have fallen asleep to my voice.
Do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond.
Hi, welcome
beyond.
To
the
Beyond. Oh,
beyond.
We're doing this?
Okay. Beyond.
Yeah, come on.
You guys good?
Well, we
move the seats around.
Yeah, you guys really messed up. Welcome to Podcast Beyond, episode 445. My name is Marty Sleeve. I'm joined by Brian Altano.
Hey, you did it. Look.
Alana Pierce.
Hey, what's up?
So he's done that literally every time you've ever been in a room with him.
Yeah. That's not true. Thankfully, the internet told me, and he's only done it twice
on
Beyond when I've been on it.
Oh, good.
And you didn't do it on the first Comedy Button episode that I was on, so I'm not insane.
Are you kidding me?
You didn't.
I've never said brap rap in front of you.
Only twice, apparently.
And Andrew Goldfarb.
Honk, honk.
Classic Andrew.
That's a new one. I like that.
Oh, man.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, welcome. Max is not here. He's in Greece.
Yep.
Yeah, he's in
the
Grecian
Islands.
I
like it when
you
make up a lie.
No, he was actually in a straight-to-theater reshoot of the movie Grease.
I mean, that's good that it's straight-to-theater. Yeah, that's where it should be.
Well,
straight-to-theater
like
movie
theater.
Reshoot?
Oh, it's straight to a single theater.
Oh, yeah. That's not great.
He plays John Travolta and the car.
He plays John Travolta, not the character. It's like about the making of Grease.
It's Let's not get lost here.
Grease Fire, the story
anyway,
of Grease.
Podcast Beyond.
Yeah, we're going to talk about, we're going to talk a little bit more about Uncharted. We're going to talk about Rockstar. We're going to talk about ukulele. We're going to probably talk about a dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, almost. Yeah.
Dog?
His name's Francis.
Francis?
He bit, bit a child.
I really like dog names that are human names.
I don't
either.
Oh, I think it's so cute.
My dog's name is Chelsea, so... You know, I screwed up
name.
There. But
yeah.
I call her Chell, so it's fine.
That's
no human's name Chell,
yes,
except the portal.
Portal character. Cool portal? Like a little dog version of the portal?
Real human?
Oh, little dog version of portal.
Let's not get lost here.
Well, dog version's a portal,
we
though.
We smaller. I mean, that does sound really nice, actually.
Yeah.
Sounds very cute.
I would play any new portal game at this point.
Instead of a companion cube, it's like a companion bone. You just get this little, like...
Yeah.
Oh, do you want to keep... Do you have... Got to cook a little bit more of this out before we continue?
I don't have any more ideas.
Yeah, and... Nope.
Okay.
No, wow, something Cave Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can it be called Pawdle? Yeah.
Yes, it
that's
can.
That's how you end that garbage.
Okay,
Podcast Beyond.
Yeah.
Episode 445.
Beyond. Stop it.
What, me?
You just keep repeating the episode
I'm
number.
I'm trying to get us on track.
Okay,
all right,
we're
talking about Uncharted.
Now,
that would have been a way better way to do that.
Should
is be like,
food?
Let's talk about Uncharted. In the first week, Uncharted 4 surpassed 2.7 million sales.
Yeah.
That's North American region specifically, but it does make Uncharted 4 the fastest selling first party PS4 game.
Which is awesome.
Yes, yeah. That's crazy.
It's obviously a huge achievement, but I'm trying to think of what the other games that it was up against that probably would have had a chance of getting that close. Obviously launch games. Killzone and Knack and stuff like that. There was stuff like The Order, you know, which like...
Sure.
Didn't how did The Order sell? I know it wasn't received that well, but how did it actually sell?
I think it sold fine.
Yeah, it sold fine.
Just kind of
I think it's one of those things that's not going to have a long tail, though. Like, as the...
Oh, definitely
I think
not. Uncharted will.
Uncharted will.
Same as like
stuff
The Last
like
of
Bloodborne,
Us.
I think, will.
Bloodborne, yeah.
games that as more and more, like the install base gets bigger and bigger. What,
actually,
we're at 40
Bloodborne
million
is probably
now.
A good parallel.
Yeah. I'm impressed that this is sold through.
Yeah, which is
so
crazy.
For people who follow game sales, it's this really annoying thing where sold can mean two different things. Sold in is to retailers. Sold through means actual like sales through to the consumer.
Yeah.
So the fact that these are sold through numbers, and most of Sony's numbers are sold through numbers, is always very confident.
They are now.
Yeah. Yeah, in this generation, exactly.
If you've been a PlayStation fan for a long time, like I have, and like everyone in this room has, but if you followed NPD back in the day, definitely during the early PS3 era, shipped was the word they used constantly, which is...
cheating, kind of.
Kind of cheating, yeah. It's not necessarily indicative. One of the things I saw was that this has already outsold the newest Halo game, which is pretty insane to think about that.
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Really?
Yeah.
In 2 weeks?
In 2 weeks, I guess that's pretty surprising. But, I mean, Halo, how many games are there now? 7?
Yeah, because there's 5 and then ODST and Reach.
Yeah.
So there's 7 games, and, I mean, Halo has kind of lost its leg since then. Like, 5 did not have a good campaign, whereas Uncharted 4 has a great campaign.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I'm not surprised that Uncharted did better. I was more excited about Uncharted 4 than I was about Halo 5 as a huge Halo fan as well. Mm-hmm. So
it also was 3 times bigger of an install base. Like, I mean, there's more people to potentially buy it.
I think that's a very good thing to point out is that, you know, there's more people with PS4s. So comparing it to the sales of anything on a different platform kind of is unfair because there's less people on that platform.
You should almost look at, like, the
percentage
attach rate.
The interesting thing will be looking at numbers for the full month, because I think it'll be interesting looking at Doom, which is on 3 platforms, versus Uncharted, which is on obviously only one. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the stuff where it gets interesting, because if Uncharted can outsell multi-platform games, that's obviously a lot more impressive.
I mean, Overwatch is out today too, and all that stuff starts eating in.
Last month, this is the second win in a row for Sony, because last month Ratchet and Clank, I think, was at number 2. It was just behind Dark Souls, which, again, Dark Souls is on 3 platforms, Ratchet and Clank's only on 1.
Ratchet and Clank did better than Dark Souls?
Mm-hmm. No. Ratchet and Clank was number 2.
Second only.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense.
And then Pokken outsold Street Fighter 5, so there goes another PS4 exclusive. Goes up, and another one goes down, and it all works out.
Yeah, how did that happen?
I have no idea.
In Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Totally strange.
I don't know, but it made Capcom go, hey, maybe we got to keep our games in the oven a little longer, which is never a bad thing.
Totally. There were huge issues with that game.
So get those games out of the oven. It's probably
What are you doing with oven games? What are you doing with oven games? What kind of mitts are you wearing?
You probably shouldn't put them in ovens.
Do you got to don a power glove?
Dog, you play Cooking Mama?
All right, guys. The guy made a metaphor.
I love Cooking Mama 3.
Throw that.
But on the note of, like, the sales of Uncharted 4... Yeah. This almost definitely means that the Uncharted franchise is going to continue.
Yeah, so
I feel like this is confirmed, basically.
Yeah, so that's the sort of the thing I want to talk about right now is we're not going to do spoilers.
Yes, we're not going to do spoilers.
Yeah, I still have like an hour or two left.
Okay. All we will say is that the game ends leaving multiple scenarios in which the franchise can continue in some capacity.
Yes.
That's probably the safest, most legal way I can say that without saying anything.
Well, we
didn't blurt out last week.
We didn't catch that.
What an idiot.
Did he spoil a thing?
Max did a spoil.
Oh,
we're not going to say it again.
None of us caught it.
No, please don't, because I'm at chapter 18 right now.
Now we can't do this one.
Yeah.
One of our breakouts was going to be what we want from DLC.
Well, we should revisit this in a more spoiler cast style where full spoilers, we do that soon. And talk about kind of that.
It's been 2 weeks. When can we actually have a conversation?
And when Alana's done with the game. I'm not talking about...
I'm finishing up.
I'm also concerned with our audience, too. Yeah. You know? I mean, I think that's like... The spoiler culture thing is like this...
Look, I think we can do a spoiler cast at any point that's separate. I don't think that we ever should
that's
have discussed spoilers
Absolutely.
Here.
Yeah.
But in terms of single-player DLC, I've been saying from the start that I really want something that fits into the campaign, but is seen from possibly a different perspective, which is what they did with Left Behind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like playing some stuff with Sully would be cool.
Yeah,
like, I mean, there's a bunch of times where Sully shows up somewhere.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, that was a big mountain.
Or, like, you could probably play some things as Elena. Like, there's different characters that you could play as, which would be super
interesting. And it doesn't even have to tie into the story of this game. It could just be like, well, here was a cool adventure they went on. Like, it could literally be like... I don't know, someone looking at a picture and being like, oh, man, remember this island? And then you play on the island.
I think the way that The Last of Us did it was awesome. That DLC
just,
was great.
I hope it's just the single player DLC is just they put out Crash Bandicoot in its entirety.
That'd be pretty cool.
That'd be really messed up if they were like, new Uncharted 4 single player DLC and it's just Crash Bandicoot.
you have to play the whole thing as Nolan North's commentary.
Oh my god.
That would actually be really good. That would be incredible.
Yeah. But I also think, the sales of this means we're probably going to get an Uncharted 5 at some point.
Yeah. Okay, so that's what I want to...
It also gets into spoiler territory if we just avoid talking about
that. Sure. So that's what I want to talk about now is, this is, they've said numerous times this is Nathan Drake's final journey and that they're sort of moving on
a
from that character.
End.
A thief's end.
Not a reference to his butt.
When he slides on
that.
It,
it's
it
kind
is.
Of
really yeah, because he slides down all those rocks
he's
and
he's got that gravel
ass.
On his butt. Yeah.
Yeah. What do we want next from Naughty Dog?
I don't want another Uncharted game for a very long time.
I don't either.
So. I mean, I'm good on them. This was this greatest hits of everything Uncharted could possibly be into the longest campaign they've ever done. It's gorgeous. It's like it's one of those pieces that you just show it to people. People come to your house and you're like, look what my PS4 can do.
Yeah, and it's also just I care so much about the characters in Uncharted 4. Like it's like the peak of how much I care about all of them.
Yeah,
very intensely, and I don't know if they can top that. For
I mean,
a while.
For a while too, I've been torn between if I even want a sequel to The Last of Us, and I've always said if I did, I wanted to pull like a sort of Fear the Walking Dead where they pick up the needle and drop it somewhere else.
Yeah, I would want a totally different set of characters.
Yeah, as much as I love Joel and Ellie, I really love the way that story ended.
Yeah, I agree.
That final moment, especially. Yeah. Like, that look she gives.
Yeah. Which is like honestly, and again without spoilers, but I think like back to back, the last two Naughty Dog games have had two of my favorite video game endings probably ever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I like that sort of finality that happens in both of these games. So walking around Uncharted 4, I kept saying like, man, this is awesome. We've seen them do these like sort of beautiful, dilapidated, rundown cities and ruins and environments, and like, what if they just went hard sci-fi?
Yeah.
Like, I really want to see them do something that's just go completely different than anything I've ever seen from you guys. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily space, but like, I look at what Horizon's doing and where it's like this mix of organic and science fiction and sort of like machines and the beauty of nature, like combining together. Like, Naughty Dog handling something like that. With a really interesting protagonist, with a brand new new story, new characters, and everything like that, could be brilliant.
So that was already those giraffes you find in The Last of Us were animatronic.
Were they really?
Yeah, they were robots.
It's a secret behind the scenes tip.
I mean, I guess The Last of Us is kind of sci-fi in a way.
I mean, the thing is, like, I feel like Naughty Dog excels at a lot of things, but especially at character building.
Totally, absolutely.
So good at character building. But we haven't
dialogue
seen...
Dialogue and storytelling.
Like, their
the
world
characters.
Building in terms of, like, establishing what happened in The Last of Us and stuff is really good, but they haven't had to literally, like, create a universe. Because the thing for me is, like, with sci-fi games or even something like Bioshock...
You need to create rules.
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Where you're, like, you are defining everything around you. Like, The Last of Us and Uncharted are still grounded in, like, our lives, you know? Whereas, like, I would love to see Naughty Dog play with that. Because that's, like, the best space games, like... You feel like, oh, I understand like the rules of this world or things that are way in the future or whatever. So I don't know. That's something I feel like they'd probably be awesome at.
Well, they're very good at like having a character revisit a place that once felt lived in or familiar, you know? And, like,
definitely.
The Last of Us and Uncharted 4 both nail that perfectly.
Yeah.
And also, like, one of the things I noticed in Uncharted 4 is I don't think a lot of people have given them really credit for this, but the way they handle children in that game and child characters and just child actors is so seamless that it's kind of like when a camera's really good in a game.
Yeah.
It's so good you don't have to think about it.
I really liked Kid Nathan Drake.
Imagine, think back to Heavy Rain and how jarring the children were in that game because they were, like, French.
I mean, everyone in that game was awful, but
yeah.
To be fair.
I just think it's, like, no one really gives them credit for, like, how well they pulled that off. So I think it's, like,
the facial expressions
in young Sam and young Nathan are just so good. And even Child Sully, he shows up. No, that's not true. But yeah, I
was like,
see...
am I not at that point?
Oh yeah, you haven't got to the Uncharted babies scene. Yeah.
It just makes me go, wow, they can do an entire range of characters like this. Like, it'd be really cool to see sort of like a family that was like in this broken off from a space colony that crash lands on some planet that is completely unfamiliar, and it's gorgeous, hard sci-fi, super weird, and then maybe the parents have a weird secret or something.
Yeah, I mean,
that
could
be a new IP.
That could be amazing as a just like. Is there a game like that where you are sort of like the entire game is based around this familial unit of like two parents and two kids?
Right.
Like,
No. And I mean, it's like
not that I can think of.
Yeah.
And I think with that too, like you get kind of away from
Mass Effect. Kind of feels like that.
Yeah.
Like spoilers.
their games, especially The Last of Us, are very raw and very visceral in a lot of ways. And I always thought, like, the gunplay in Uncharted, it feels weird because it's like you have this guy murdering people and he's also a family man.
He's such a sweet human.
He is.
Until...
For a mass murderer. Yeah.
So, but I think if you move it into a space setting, and I don't just mean Uncharted in space, I mean like a lot of the same ideas. You move it into a space setting, all of a sudden you're dealing with like alien creatures and you're dealing with laser guns, and all of a sudden it's less like, I gotta bash this guy in the head with a brick. Like, shiving people in the neck in The Last of Us was just like guttural so and disgusting.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't want to do that in front of your kids. So my pitch for like a family Naughty Dog game isn't necessarily like a
specific.
A family friendly Naughty
Dog. I want a family Naughty
Dog. I'm trying to like
game.
Play to all their strengths, right? Without just having another game where like people climb.
The
on
character
stuff.
Relationships are really, really good.
Yeah.
And yeah, dialogue's really good. I mean, I feel like they could do that in any setting, though. Mm-hmm. You know, anything that has good characters is something that they'll probably sell me on really quickly.
I mean, I want them to go back to Jack and Daxter. Like, there was a Jack 4. There was concept art for that out there.
It was terrifying.
It was terrifying. And I don't want them to go back to... I don't want dark and gritty Jack. Like, yeah. I stopped liking...
I was
going to
say
that
the
much.
Only way they'll do it is if it's gritty.
I hated 3. Like, go back and do something colorful. Like,
and look at Ratchet and Clank.
Like, look at Ratchet and Clank. Yeah. That could sell. Yeah. Like, we're going to talk about it later. Like, this is like... Ratchet and Clank proves that this genre can exist again.
Yeah, because it stopped for a while.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I would love to see them go back and do that.
So, like... Every part of me agrees with you because I love. I can't even imagine what a 3D platformer in their engine looks like.
Yeah,
you know. But it's just like they've gone too serious.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't think they will do it.
You can't come back from that.
I mean, like Scorsese did Hugo.
Yeah,
like
true.
You can balance that.
I mean, that movie about an orphan that lives in a clock. So it was dark. That was kind of messed up.
It's I mean, that was. Kind of a left turn. Like, I like the idea of all of that as a new IP, but specifically Uncharted, in terms of what Uncharted could be, like, you can still use that brand without Nathan Drake, I think. Like, I do think you can make an Uncharted game that, kind of like your Fear the Walking Dead analogy, like, spiritually, like, Uncharted, like, yeah, there's all these great characters that we know and love and who I super feel like got, like, a really nice, like, cap on the end of it with Uncharted 4, but it's like, I really do feel like you can take that, like, that trope that Indiana Jones is born from and that so many other things of that, like, adventurer and that, like, serialized story about, like, oh, like, these crazy adventures they go
sure.
on. Like, I think you could do that. Like, I would still love to see... I mean, like, it's funny because we have Tomb Raider, right? But it's like, I think you can tell stories like that, but, like, Naughty Dog could just do it in... Someone else is a treasure hunter. Someone else is going on treasure hunting adventures through history set in the modern day.
My concern would be...
I don't want that.
Well, I mean...
See, I feel like I do want that.
I only want it if it's Nathan Drake. Like,
really?
I play Uncharted for Nathan Drake.
I love Nathan Drake, and I love those characters. Like, I think the relationship between, like, Drake and Sully or
that's
Drake and Elena
it,
or any of them...
is for those
totally
relationships.
Some of the best in games ever. But
so
that
why
said,
do you think
like,
they couldn't do that with a new character?
Exactly, because, like, in The Last of Us, they
I
did,
I just
right?
wouldn't want it, I guess. Like
listen,
I would, if
a
they
thing,
were to make it a new character, I think I would want a new setting.
If a thing is successful and it has a name... You don't change the host of it. Ever.
I think, I really do feel like.
Ever.
I'm almost in the boat where I never want to see Nathan Drake again.
I don't either. No. I don't want to either. But my point is, like, I would prefer that they left Uncharted with 4 and leave it how it is than to have Uncharted with a different character.
See,
I
problem,
prefer for it to just be connected.
The problem becomes that it sold 2.7 million copies.
No, yes. the problem is the thing you're going to get is you're going to get another Uncharted. It's not going to be Naughty Dog.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I was going to say the exact same thing. So look at AMC, right? And look at Vincent Gilligan and look at Breaking Bad. That's a guy that was like, this is a story I want to tell. This is how I want to tell it. This is how long it's going to take for me to tell. And they're like, you have all the freedom you want. We're going to take the last season and cut it in half, but that's about it. Otherwise, we're not going to mess with you. And then I think they probably met in the middle on, man, this is so hot. People still want something from it. I'll do Better Call Saul. Here's my spinoff show.
That's why we got Arkham Origins.
Or, yeah, Better Call Sam or whatever. Better Call Sully. So I think, like, yeah, Arkham Origins is a great example of, like, they wanted some time off, and they got this – you got this game that's now, like, this weird stepchild that they won't even put in
they
the
don't even
HD
acknowledge.
Package,
yeah.
So.
Which I liked
but,
that game.
I mean, the difference there is that, like, Better Call Saul is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, that's – whereas Arkham Origins was not up
for
the level of
– Yeah, but
now
there's
like, there,
but there it's are also a lot of Breaking still... Bad fans that don't like Better Call Saul because it's not – it doesn't have that
– But it's also not – a perfect analogy because like Vince Gilligan is still involved in that show and most of the writing staff is still involved in that show, whereas Arkham Origins was literally a different team
entirely.
In a different country.
So do you think this would be one, I mean this really comes down to like how cool Sony is. Like, if they're cool with just being like, well, these guys own this property. Like, look at Robert Zemeckis, right? He was like, no one will make another Back to the Future while I'm still alive. Mm-hmm. Like, that guy will have to die for them to be like, we're making a sequel to that film or a reboot. So with this,
now
it's
Marty
sort of,
McFly's a girl.
Yeah.
But Sony
the
Ben...
The hoverboard's a girl.
I mean, Sony Ben made an Uncharted game, right? And I think Golden Abyss is arguably better than Uncharted 1. Like, I think, like, Sony has a super talented pool of studios that they own, and Bend is one of them. Whatever the hell else they're doing, please announce your game. But I think, like, there are plenty of people who can take that franchise and still make it great. And they don't even have to, it doesn't even have to be a WB Montreal thing.
Yeah.
It can be another, like, Bend was an awesome solution for, hey, who do we have making a Uncharted game on Vita? Because Naughty Dog doesn't want
it's
to.
It's such hard shoes to fill, though.
Yeah.
You know, like, where they left it right now, like, just even just visually or just storytelling wise, the benchmarks of Uncharted 4 are unprecedented.
I mean, it is tough because, like, to bring it back to Ratchet & Clank, like, that series got sullied a little bit after Kraken Town. Oh, wait. Oh, the thing I was going to say was I can imagine if you die in your sci-fi game, instead of a Vuvuzela playing, it's just a Thurman.
There is totally a thing with, like, Jared Petty wrote a feature about this not that long ago about how Fallout 4 should be the last Fallout game, and he got a lot of hate for it. Probably from people who didn't read it, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, the idea is that if something is really, really good, then why not leave on that good note? Like, I'm happy for Silent Hill PT to be the last PT ever because it's so good. It's like nothing that's going to come after that is probably ever going to top PT for me. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much the same way that I feel about Uncharted 4. Like, I'm happy for it to be the last Uncharted thing because I like it so much. And
again, without spoiling the ending, like, everything feels self-contained there. You know,
I love that ending so much.
There are possibilities of other things starting anew or happening somewhere else, but everything feels self-contained. It's satisfactory to the point where I almost like winced at the idea of single player DLC because I'm like, I don't know if I need any more. Like, this felt perfectly wrapped up in it.
I felt about The Last of Us, and then Left Behind was great.
This is also
totally different because it was like, oh, we're gonna tackle this from a separate
angle.
My thing is, like, these are also the conversations I've been having since I was a kid about how Return of the Jedi was a perfect ending, and I really like Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, honestly, like,
if you wait long enough, there's totally an exception to that rule.
Like, I don't think Uncharted 5 is gonna be announced at E3.
Yeah, wait 10 years, and I will play the hell out of Uncharted 5.
We got three bad Star Wars stories before Force Awakens.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, look, like, I
come at me.
To me, there's no world where we don't see Uncharted in the next 4 years.
No,
it's the same thing with, like, BioShock and all these things that are dormant. Like, those things make too much money to just be dead forever.
Right.
And so I do think, like, it's not a question of if, it's a question of when. I hope they take a little bit of time. I would imagine if Last of Us 2 rumors are real, that Naughty Dog does that for a while, and then they're going to sit down and be like, well, do we want to make another Uncharted, or does someone else want to make it? And I think Sony is good enough to their studios that they'll let them be the ones to make that decision.
Yeah.
Well, we will get an Uncharted game.
There's also, like, I mean, to go back to Star Wars, like, they're making a young Han Solo movie, and I would have never thought in a million years that would be a thing, even 5 years
also
ago.
Also because the actor is probably older than Harrison Ford was.
Yeah.
After
New Hope. The whole thing's very weird, but it's like, maybe tell a story about Nathan Drake when he was 22 years old. Like, and how many times in these games now have they picked up the needle and been like, here he was when he was 10 or 15, and here he is. I love all that flashback stuff.
You really like this needle picking up.
Yeah, a lot of people. Yeah. It's a
heroin term, right?
No, it's a DJ term.
Oh.
Yeah.
Brian's first job was picking up needles.
It is absolutely a DJ term.
Yeah, it is.
Picking up needles?
Well, you don't DJ. You DJ off a MacBook.
I don't DJ with records. No, I don't.
Well, what do you use?
CDJs?
Oh, you use CDJs. Okay, so for centuries, turntables...
not centuries.
Turntables work like you picked up a needle and you put it down somewhere.
I'm familiar
with it. Okay, so then that's then why are you pretending like you're not... Damn it, I lost it.
Anyway... I think that this is kind of similar to how I feel about Arkham right now, is that I wouldn't want another Batman game, but I feel like we will probably get one eventually, but I wouldn't want it for a long time. Mm-hmm. Like, I think there's totally an exception to the rule. Like, right now, Uncharted is great, and I think they should leave it.
Yeah.
What I want from Naughty Dog right now, I want The Last of Us 2.
The thing about Batman is, though, like, they reboot that dude every 2 weeks, you know?
Yeah. Well, and also, like, Telltale's making a Batman game that I would imagine is very different than Arkham. You know, if someone else makes an Uncharted game... Like, if they make an Uncharted game someday, it doesn't necessarily... Like, this is with Naughty Dog sensibilities, but, like, another studio might put their own sensibilities in. Like, Telltale. Mm-hmm. I would play that.
Yeah, I would too, actually.
But the problem is that the reason people want Telltale to make games is because they're incredible writers and tell incredible stories. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, Naughty Dog's one of the few companies in this entire industry
that
rivals
has that.
They're like,
they don't
good
need
at
help.
That.
Yeah.
Honestly, if anything, Like, I would love an Uncharted, a game in the Uncharted world or that vibe where they just strip away the combat. Like, I'm totally fine if this person's just a legitimate archaeologist.
Yeah.
Like,
I love
treasure hunting and you're out there with your buddies.
I've always thought
that's a lot of climbing for one game.
Just, how about you don't climb either? You're slightly out of shape.
It's like slightly out of shape.
Slide.
You only go down.
Slightly out of shape pacifist.
It's just Firewatch.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I want. It's Firewatch.
How Altair is in Assassin's Creed Revelations. Yeah.
Oh, old man Altair?
Yeah. Which is awesome. I love that stuff.
Oh, I want to be an old boy. Yeah, I want to be someone old.
You just want to be Altair.
You just want to play as a literal archaeologist sitting at a desk.
I agree with you that the...
It's like papers, please, but archaeology.
Yeah. You guys are not... This is why we're here and not working on video games right now.
What if we took out all of the games?
To be fair, Mitch had as many dumb ideas as we did, and he gets to make a video game.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know what to say about that. I think he was just Canadian, and then he moved to Canada.
Canadian privilege.
Yeah.
You don't hear about it a lot.
That's because they apologize.
People just throw jobs at them constantly.
Yeah. So that's it.
You like that speculation, just wait for this next topic.
That's true.
No, honestly, just let us know what you want from the next Uncharted game, or what you want from single player DLC, or what you want from the next Naughty Dog game in general. Let's move away from Uncharted, just period, and just, you know, do what I did. Come up with a family hard sci-fi film that takes place on a distant planet where you can use lasers to shoot monsters and it's not gross. Yep.
And or when Marty's you die, game about academia.
Yeah.
Hey, I think Marty's game about academia would sell very well to Marty.
Yeah. Sorry if you bumped your head while falling asleep listening to that pitch.
Speaking of what people are working on, what do we think Rockstar's working on right now?
Well, and we should say the reason we ask is because Take-Two, which is the parent company of Rockstar, they also own 2K, who makes a bunch of stuff. They said in an earnings call that Rockstar is working on, read the quote, some exciting future projects that will be revealed soon.
Very specific.
Mm-hmm.
Also, no.
Yeah, right? They took a few years off.
I don't know my phone password.
So apparently they're going to be at
E3. They found it out on YouTube
they
one
did.
Of these days.
Yeah, they found one. Yeah. Apparently they're going to have some stuff, some big stuff at E3.
So 2K, or wait.
Take-Two CEO Strauss Zelnick said, they'll be at E3 2016 in a big way.
But they also said that despite the fact that Rockstar's announcements would be coming, quote, soon, that a Rockstar game would not ship in this fiscal year, which means now to March 31st, 2017.
So it would be April 1st of next year at the earliest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and also, like, I think when they say they're there in a big way, like, I would imagine they're referring to, like, Mafia and...
Sure, I don't think so. I legitimately do think Red Dead 2 is going to be revealed on one of the stages at E3.
Wow.
I also think
cool.
So.
I think on the Sony stage.
Time for it.
Probably.
Yeah.
We'll get a teaser trailer. We'll get something.
Sure.
And I know there's always the... Rockstar doesn't go to E3, but like that pertains to GTA because is bigger
GTA
than
GTA. GTA gets announced by the New York Times.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane.
Someone rolled up a sleeve. Peter Moore? No. Did someone get the GTA?
GTA was the roll of the sleeve thing was a whole separate thing. The GTA thing,
that was GTA 4 coming to Xbox.
Yeah, Peter Moore had the tattoo.
And they also GTA 5 revealed the console versions. I think was it a Gamescom press conference or something? It was at one of those press conferences. Yeah. They just showed off the trailer.
That was Peter Moore got a tramp stamp.
Yeah. Also works for EA, so it was a really weird announcement.
I know, it was really weird. Yeah. Everyone in the front row was throwing up.
It's not a good tramp stamp.
No.
Wow. The ugliest tattoo there ever was.
It really is,
yeah.
But in a big way, which is what this says, does that mean that we get one game that's just highlighted or multiple games? Like, I can't imagine Rockstar announcing more than one game at a time.
No, not at all.
No.
They're very good at sort of like focusing on one major thing and then trickling out the details of sort of like, look at what they did with GTA 5.
Yeah, very good marketing strategies.
They're like, here's the bumper of a car. And for like a month, we're like, oh my God, the car has a bumper.
It's so shiny.
Yeah. Which is, it's kind of fascinating because it's like, if you look at how much money they're making right now, what are they just shipped? What is 65 million copies?
Yeah, wasn't something just insane?
It was just like,
it's 65,
It was more like, it was really funny reading this, like, Uncharted sold 2 million. They're like, we sold 65 million.
How long ago the dinosaurs
were alive.
Rockstar are amazing. Like, at this point, no matter what they announce, I will play it.
Yeah.
Like, I've hit that point with Rockstar where no matter what it is, even if I think it looks awful, I am going to play it.
Well, I think there's just a testament to putting something out every 3 or 4 years instead of every year.
That's why everything they make is insane quality. And I'm pretty sure they've spoken about this publicly before, that they don't want to annualize releases because they like to focus on things being amazing quality.
Yeah, and it was weird because for a while there, it seemed like they were into that. Like, if you look at, like, the during the PSP era where they were doing, like, the stories games every other year, and Chinatown Wars, and, I mean, they even had that quote recently about not re-releasing their old games in HD unless it was something that would absolutely delight their audiences. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not really looking for a quick buck.
Because they don't need it.
And they don't need it. But you know what? Like, everybody needs it, but I respect the hell out of them for being like, you know what? Let's not do that. Mm-hmm. Like, they make their nickel and dime money off of GTA 5 online, right?
Totally.
Like, they can put out gold helicopters and hats and jackets and stuff like that.
They make quick bucks off of
that. They make good money there. And by all means, if you look at something, same thing with, like, Valve, right? It's like, why would they ever put it out on their game if they're making millions of dollars a day off of just, like, this
Russian roulette, absolutely no need to.
They're selling.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, I respect the hell out of them being like, yeah, we're not just pumping out, like, remakes of stuff.
I mean, that's how Assassin's Creed happens, right?
Exactly.
Like, Ubisoft hit a point where they're like, okay, we keep putting these out, people liking them less and less.
Yes.
Like,
let's pump the brakes. Let's
stop
take a year off
for a bit. Like, I wish that they would stop for longer. Then maybe I would play Assassin's Creed again.
That's the whole Activision thing, right? Like, Activision, for the longest time, it was, like, with Tony Hawk and with Guitar Hero and so many other things. They just grind them into the ground.
Yeah, totally.
It just sucks that they have to, like, do... it just sucks that they have to get to that point before they realize, whereas Rockstar are leading by example. Mm-hmm. Like, and I'd also love to see... I'd love to see Bully 2. I would love to see that. Like, I wonder if they'll ever make
it. I mean, I feel like that's the only game, aside from Red Dead, that makes sense to get a sequel. Like, I don't think we're gonna get a Manhunt 3.
I don't think we're gonna get a Manhunt. Like, I would play another L.A. Noir. I really like L.A. Noir.
Yeah. Oh, man, I just hated L.A. Noir.
Really? Yeah. I really like it. I haven't finished it.
I mean, like, if you completely do, like, the Final Fantasy thing, and it's, like, it's the name and nothing else, or, like, we were saying with Uncharted, like, maybe L.A. Noir is a name that applies to sort of some of those systems and something new, but, like, I never want to see any of those characters again. I think that's
I don't want to see the characters again.
Way less interesting GTA.
Yeah, I mean,
honestly.
A lot has changed, though. It's, I think it, we
it's
just passed its 5 year.
Years,
no,
five, 6 years.
Yeah.
I mean, it was also made in Australia by a studio that
Bondi?
Had a disaster.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bondi. We're in a very different era for Rockstar, too. Like, if you think about when they were putting out Bully, Table Tennis, Manhunt, The Warriors, Chinatown Wars, what was it, State of Emergency?
Yeah, Max Payne 3.
There was just a whole bunch of weird stuff happening at the same time. Some were hits, some were failures, some did really well critically, some just didn't work out.
Yeah, they did, like, weird licensed games in, like, the GBA era. Like, they did all kinds of weird stuff.
Yeah, they were Space Station Silicon Valley.
I mean, if you go back that far, especially.
Yeah.
But if you look at now, like, I mean, I feel like they set the bar so high with something like GTA 5 that to come out of it and do something like L.A. Noir, which is, like,
I don't think they'll do that. I would like a sequel to that, but I would like a sequel to, like, most of their huge games. But at the same time, it's kind of hit a point where, at the same time that I will play whatever they make, I also have faith that pretty much any new IP that they would make would be good.
I mean, so they still have Agent, which has never officially been canceled, which was a game that was going to be a PlayStation 3 exclusive that they were making that was sort of a Cold War thriller.
Yeah.
And it's never been canceled, but it's also hasn't been mentioned in 5 years, in 6 years. So I don't know if that's a thing that all of a sudden is just on stage and it's a brand new game or whatever the hell it was.
I want a modern day version of Red Dead where the protagonist rides a horse and he's the only one that doesn't know he's in the present day.
I would love that.
And he just talks like he's in Cowboy Times. And
it's like Alice Madness Returns.
Yeah. When was Cowboy
Times?
But
Red Dead.
A couple hundred years ago.
There's Cowboy Times and then there's Game of Thrones Times.
Game
that's
of Thrones
how
times,
history
Cowboy
works.
Cowboy Times and then Caveman Dinosaur Days.
Yeah, and then like 20 years from now, Star Wars.
Yeah, instead of like AD and BC, we just use like CT for Cowboy Times and then Game of Thrones Times, GOTT. My favorite calendar.
The Gotian calendar. There's also the chance that we assume they're working on single player DLC for
GTA 5.
Yeah.
We heard rumors around that for a while.
Which makes sense because The Lost and the Damned and The Ballad of Gay Tony are both awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, and those are very robust too. Like they're not just like, you know, a new vehicle or whatever. Yeah.
We
no,
have to
they're
look
really
this
good.
Up, but do you remember how close those were to the GTA 4 actual release? Because I feel like
they were a little bit afterwards.
I feel like they were like a year or two after.
I thought a year or two as well. Yeah.
Okay, because it always felt like they were more like, I guess they still felt closer connected. Like, it's been, what, how many years
now? It's been 2.5 years since
I feel like the difference in that is that because it made the jump between consoles, it almost right. feels like it was it released the second it. Time.
Yeah, that's a really good
like,
point.
Like, especially in terms of marketing.
I mean, it has
like,
been
it's,
a long
it's
time.
Still
it's
fresh.
It's fresh because it keeps hitting these beats.
Yeah, it got reset, basically. They yeah. reset yeah, the clock sense. On that. Because I feel like, I mean, I played GTA 5 on last gen. And then I rebought it on
yeah,
this gen,
too.
But I didn't do any of the story stuff, really. I just used it as a big, like, beautiful sandbox.
I did pretty much the exact same yeah. thing. I bought it to look at pretty stuff and do dumb stuff.
So,
and,
like, yeah, actually, I don't remember right. a lot it of was... the side characters and a lot of the other stuff. So if they just dove in with, like, single-player DLC and it was picking up...
That would be a great God, reason for yeah. me to stop playing again.
So the crazy thing about GTA, that was the weird thing with that. I knew there was something. So it was April 2008 with GTA 4. That's yeah. when it came to 360 and PS3. But the DLC started as exclusive to 360. So the DLC came to, it was February 2009 was The Lost and the Damned, but it didn't come to PS3 and PC until April of 2010.
Okay, so
oh, that's wow. because Peter Moore got that tattoo on his yeah, pants.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. it was just confident tattoos.
Yeah, Tony was October 2009 and then also April 2010 for, yeah. for PS3.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Okay, so it was almost a year after the game was released. Yeah. That it got its first DLC.
Yeah,
I feel it's like it's probably actually the right time kind of about now for them to announce
oh,
a
late,
single player DLC.
I mean, honestly, because this came out, so September 2013 was the original release, so it would be mm-hmm. going on 3 years, which is actually like a really long time for...
Like,
granted, like you said, it came to next gen.
So. Yeah,
I'll be honest
they have
with you,
the ball still rolling.
I'll yeah, be honest yeah, with yeah. you, like I'm excited for something like that, and I would totally replay it, but yeah. I'm okay with also not going back to that world and seeing something brand new from them.
You yeah, know? Me too. Yeah.
Like, if it's that, if they were sitting there in a room and they're like, we either do a new Red Dead or we tell the story of, you know, Michael's auto body shop or whatever.
I would prefer a new Red Dead.
Yeah,
yeah.
Me too. I think 9
you
out
just,
of 10.
You just want to go back to Cowboy Times.
I do.
CT,
yeah.
you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Cowboy
CT.
Times. Horse President they had back then.
Yeah, what was his name?
President May.
That's really difficult.
Yeah, it
sounds
hard.
It sounds very negative.
Have your name be also the sound you make when you talk.
That's because he couldn't look up.
Yeah.
No, very sad.
Horses can't look up.
Was I listening to you? Horses can't throw up?
They can't throw up.
Yeah, it's
weird. Their necks are too long?
Yeah, their necks are too long. Like, weird stuff.
What about giraffes? That's got to be
awful. They're definitely not throwing up.
No, they would not be able to throw up.
So brontosaurus, never
I don't think brontosaurus
No, brontosaurus, I definitely can't throw up. Because they're not real.
It sucks if a giraffe or brontosaurus is thirsty. The time it takes to drink the water versus when it actually, like, hits your stomach.
Yeah, it's about an hour and a half. It really sucks. And sometimes you put your mouth down and you're like, well, that's not good water at all. And it takes you another hour and a half to get back up. And you
got
to
watch your water. Mentally, you probably get the satisfaction as soon as there's water in your mouth.
Depends on how often Fred Flintstone is sliding down your neck.
That's a good point.
Which is a huge problem they suffer from.
Still to this day. You got disease.
Back in animal time?
Yeah, every time that dude gets out of work, he's got to slide down on their necks. Yep. They're like, take the stairs.
It's unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Back in FT, Flintstone's time.
That was caveman times. You already had that times.
Oh, yeah, you're
right. This is the branded version. Yeah.
Sponsored by the Flintstones.
Brought to you by the Flintstones and brain damage. All right.
Someone just start the next story so I can write this.
Moving on. Ukulele.
You're not going to do the ukulele. Okay, Alana's probably...
I'm very excited about ukulele. There is a ukulele demo coming to backers in July, so people who back the Kickstarter for ukulele, which is... I think we've spoken about it before, but for people who don't know, Playtonic Games is a studio made of a bunch of developers and designers from... They worked on Banjo, and they worked on Donkey Kong Country, and they all got together to basically make a Banjo successor.
Yeah.
So this is effectively Banjo 3 with different characters, Yuka and Lele, rather than Banjo and Kazooie. And the demo that's coming to back is in July is some kind of toy box?
Yeah, it's sort of like a... It's not a part of the game. It's going to be like a big, colorful 3D... space for you to run around.
I'm expecting it to be like Disney Infinity Toy Box.
Yeah, where you're sort of just like messing around and getting a feel
Peach's front lawn.
Yes.
Yeah. So the thing that I played of ukulele, which I think has probably been seen online, was basically me just walking around a giant environment and jumping through stuff. And
did you like how it felt?
Yeah.
Okay.
It felt really good. There was nothing to do because there was absolutely nothing there. But
I mean, but
I really liked the way that it felt.
That was a year ago, right?
That was E3 last year, yeah.
Jose Otero and I from NVC did a Let's Play of Mario 64 the other day. And before we turned it on, I just started running around the courtyard doing triple jumps and backflips and butt slides and all the other
stuff. Does that still feel good?
Yeah, it still feels great. Yeah. Like, it's so weird how that just it just clicks. I mean, I think it feels better because I'm not holding an N64 controller anymore. Like,
true.
That thing didn't age very well.
Yeah.
But that's such an important, like, second, I think, is the level design, and number one in a platform
is how a character feels.
It's how a character feels.
Definitely, yeah. It definitely felt really good, and it looked really good. It was very pretty.
These Kickstarter exclusive demo things are always when I get immediate remorse for not backing a Kickstarter.
Yeah, I hate that you can't back one later. Like, ukulele is the only Kickstarter that I've ever backed.
Yeah.
But I wish that other people could still like just pay extra to jump
Brian's
on at some
bother
point
you
before
play
release.
So weirdly,
yes.
some
yeah,
do that. Like a,
oh, do they?
The Dark Souls 3 board game just did that. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know you could do that.
On Kickstarter.com. I mean, it redirects you off of the site, basically, but you can go do, like, Double Fine started with their Slacker Backer thing, which was basically after Double Fine Adventure was funded, you could then keep funding it.
That's cool.
And get access to the forums and all that. And then there are a few people who do that now as sort of a side thing.
I love that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a really good idea.
Like, I would pay a few bucks right now to play that demo when it comes out.
Yeah.
Because as a guy who's been playing platforming games and 3D platforming games for the longest time and has been fighting for years on this show and others for that sort of renaissance of platforming gaming, which I so like totally feel like we're right on the cusp
of. I think so too. Ukulele and Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah.
Like those two things.
And,
right?
and Naughty Dog's Jack and Daxter that we just made up.
Yeah, that's definitely coming.
That's going to be a real nice one. Yeah.
And Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah, well, and there's other. There's Hat in Time, which I don't know if that game still exists.
What happened with that game?
Andrew and I did a Let's Play of it during Andrew's first term at IGN.
Yeah, I backed that game for a lot of money, too, actually.
Yeah.
I should look that up.
There was that Australian game we did the Let's Play of.
What happened to Hat in Time?
It's Irish, man.
I don't think it was Irish.
It's
I'm pretty sure it was
Australian.
Irish. What was it called? Clove?
It was something to do with
the morning. It was called Top of the Morning, too.
Yeah, you have to climb a giant morning and reach the top and collect all the beautiful Guinnesses on that.
I'd play it. Yeah, but incredible. Ukulele is going to be at E3, which makes me think that maybe this specific thing might even be playable at E3, but we still don't have a release date. I wasn't expecting it this year anyway.
Yeah. And we should note that Ukulele, unlike those other ones we mentioned, like very openly is PS4, Wii U, Xbox One, PC.
They
actually like had formal stretch goals for those, whereas these other ones are PC games that we're hoping will eventually be ported.
Yeah. Oh my god, Grant Kirkhope's doing the music?
Yeah, Grant Kirkhope was doing the music for Hat in Time.
When was the last update?
I love that guy.
March 5th.
This year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, the reward's an actual cover that looks like the N64 cover.
That's the level I backed it at.
Where is it?
I don't know.
Oh, dang.
Bones me out.
Bad luck with Kickstarter.
But yeah, I don't know. Like, do you think we could... people keep wanting a Jack game. Like, do you think we'll ever get a... Or, not Jack. Crash? Like, are we ever going to see Crash again? Are we ever going to see a proper Spyro game, as in, like, Insomniac's Spyro the Dragon?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think you'll ever see Spyro. I think Crash is probably...
I mean, Skylanders made them enough money to just stick with that.
Skanglangers?
Skanglangers.
When I think it was like a really... Skylanders proved to be really successful, but man, when you think about how smart it was to just like... I mean, it was really arbitrary to put Spyro in that game, but it was really smart to like put a brand on it just in case.
To anchor it.
To maintain
quietly
Spyro.
Quietly pull it away. Like,
yeah.
Like
I mean,
Spyro
it's especially good because now kids know Spyro as well. Like,
exactly.
It's not just... It didn't age, was kind of the point. Even though Spyro looks totally different.
Is Spyro going to be the main character of that cartoon?
We don't know.
Skylanders?
Yeah, I assume so.
Probably.
Is there like... Is Skylander a person? Is there like... John Skylander?
Yeah.
Do you know a John Human?
Yeah.
Oh.
What?
No, Skylander is not a person. You play the role of the Portal Master when you play Skylanders.
Oh.
And the Skylanders are all the creatures.
Is that a character?
Don't do it.
It's you. It's you, fam.
Is the dog?
You specifically.
Can the dog be a Portal
Master?
It's
like a Tearaway.
There's probably a dog Skylander.
A Portal Master.
Yeah.
Just stop
it. Oh, Tearaway.
Now I understand why Max is so frustrated all the time.
Just constantly.
Why are you the frustrated one?
I don't actually care. I'm playing the role of the audience.
I don't even care.
You never go on tangents, Brian.
Hey, there's a difference, okay?
Well, we're talking about Skylanders, which is relevant because Skylanders Battle Class came out today, all right?
What is?
Skylanders Battle Class came out today, which is the COD game for Skylanders, and I played a bunch of it.
Yay.
Relevant.
So Ukulele is going to be at E3.
Well, not relevant. It's PlayStation
to play it.
Good point.
Anecdotally, this E3 feels small. And a little weird.
I think E3 is pretty much going to die. So. Aww.
Can't spell E3 without Andrew Goldfarb.
Well, it's weird because it's simultaneously, it's the biggest, busiest E3 we've ever had because stuff now starts Saturday
night.
Just
stop putting stuff on the weekend.
And yeah, we have stuff all day. Our live show is all day Sunday with the EA conference, the Bethesda conference, and we're going to have a bunch of demos. But yeah, and then there's this whole public facet side of it. Do you want to go over that really quick?
Yes, so they announced E3 Live, which is a demo. I almost said
a demo. This is different than EA Play.
EA Play, so okay, I'll try and read this as briefly as possible. E3 is the Electronics Entertainment Expo. Happens every year. There's like, there have been many, many of them. Started way back in Atlanta, in Los Angeles, at the LA Convention Center. That happens every year. Still the same you expect, press conferences, all that. Concurrent to that this year, there's a thing called EA Play, which is EA's public. Like, you can go, they're going to have a press conference, but you'll be able to go, assuming you bought a ticket, to play EA games. Separate from all of that, they just announced E3 Live, which is basically next door to E3. It's at LA Live, which is sort of next to the LA Convention Center, and that is an open to the public thing where, again, you have to register for tickets, but if you come, there will be demos and cool like VR kiosks and all kinds of stuff. So it's kind of E3 physically is bigger than it's ever been in terms of taking up more real estate in LA. But in terms of its relevance, I think like the fact that Nintendo is going to premiere new hardware this year and it's not going to be at E3, and the fact that Activision and Wargaming and Disney, now RIP, but Disney pulled out, and EA effectively pulled out, kind of tells you a lot about where E3 is headed.
Yeah, I think, I guess that part of the reason for that is the rise of influences.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, it probably works better for those companies to give PewDiePie a code of their game and give a popular YouTuber an announcement than it does just at a press conference.
It's also just the rise of do-it-yourself. Like,
well,
I mean,
yeah,
it's like,
everything's
it's,
online. Why are they competing with themselves?
And that's the thing. Like, Sony has the PlayStation blog, which even we look at every day. Yeah. And then Activision has a blog. Ubisoft has a blog. Like, they
And it's folks that, like, previously, like, Ryan Clements helps run the PlayStation blog.
Exactly.
Scott Lowe helps run the Activision
blog.
Like,
why would, like, if you're Blizzard or you're Valve, like, why would you need IGN, or why would you know, like, that's just
don't
how
you can do it yourself.
Yeah.
Didn't hear it from
me. Listens.
But no, I mean,
and
I
Nintendo
think, like,
Direct is working.
Exactly.
And yeah, it's just, I think you can't compete with the hype of E3. I mean, people are watching it and that's how they announce things, right?
Yeah. But
I don't think that would have any benefit from a Nintendo press conference.
No, but I will argue that, like, the start, and I love the Nintendo Direct format. I wish Sony did something like it, because it's like getting 10 Christmases a year. I would love that. If Shuhei was just like, hey, here's a half an hour on PlayStation Indies, and it was just like random.
That would be really cool.
Tuesday morning in May or whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, I would say that them pulling away from the sort of the system and running things themselves, I don't know if it's directly affected their business, but it has been sort of synonymous with the decline of a lot of their sales.
I suppose that it could be said that if they aren't a part of E3, then they are removing themselves from the industry and the hype that comes surrounding E3.
Because look at Sony at E3, right? Like, they still, like, their E3 press conference they did last year was like, it was them taking E3.
That was a good press conference.
Yeah, as serious as ever. And them just coming out with all the guns blazing. None of those guns are available in stores yet. But still, they had everything out there. And that's great.
It was still guns.
Nope, not yet. Not yet. I don't even know if that game will have guns.
Yep.
Mostly kicks. And some crates.
Yeah, I think that probably is a huge benefit to also people like arguing about which press conference is better. Probably benefits the publishers a whole lot.
Yeah. It's funny because there are those rare examples of like Valve doesn't need to go to E3.
No.
They're big enough.
Well, I think
that's
more
why
and
Rockstar
like,
doesn't really either.
Yeah. Gamescom was sort of this smart parallel to E3. Like, Sony pulled out of that last year. Like, and like, honestly, like, Sony has PSX now. If PSX grew bigger and bigger and bigger, I think you would eventually see it sort of like BlizzCon, where Blizzard doesn't come to E3 because rather than get lost in 20 other press conferences and have all this other news going on, why not speak directly to your most hardcore fans at a single event that focuses entirely on you? Like, I think the appeal of that, it's so easy to get your message out there now that it's not like you have to worry about no one covering it. Like, everyone is still going to talk about what happens at PSX and BlizzCon.
Also,
and
there's all these, like, outside of E3 events now that are playable for the public. And if you miss them, play it at SDCC.
Right.
Or play it at PAX.
That's true.
Or play it
or at
NYCC.
Buy.
Or like, at Best Buy.
That's the thing. Like, even last year when Nintendo was still doing their full thing, like, you could go to any Best Buy and just play all their E3 games for a limited
time. Which I love. Yeah. I wish Sony would steal that.
Weird side note. I found out that you can try out Oculus and Vive at Best Buys, but you need to make an appointment for a specific time. Like, days in advance.
It's like E3. Now you can see what the E3 is
But
like.
No, it's just super weird because I was always like, how is that going to work? Is it just be a big line at Best Buy? But you literally have to be like, hey, I'm going to go there on Thursday
at
3:30.
Awesome. Yeah, I like that too.
And that's
that
the thing, like,
encourages hygiene.
Yeah.
It encourages like, we'll clean it before then.
It also just lets you, like, I went to my first E3 in high school. I went to E3 2004. And it's like, if I hadn't done that, I don't think I'd be doing this.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's so valuable to see that stuff, like, before you're actually in the industry. Like, yeah, like, for the press side, I know people complain about coming public because it's harder for us to get around. But who cares?
With it.
Like, like, that's weird. Like, you always say, we're 0.01% of the people there, and if everyone else is there to try out games early, and
if
like,
just if it means if a bunch of people being stoked and being able to play stuff means that it takes me 10 more minutes to walk across a convention
center,
if you're Activision or whoever, like, you want more people seeing your game.
Those are the people who are stoked, and those are people going to buy the game.
And it's honestly like, Goldfarb, you got in because like E3 was a spectacle to you, right? But I mean, that just as easily could have been PAX or PSX. Like, I met a bunch of people. I met people at every convention who nervously come up to me and they're like, this is insane. This is my first time coming to one of these conventions. And at PSX, especially because it was much more intimate and small, I was kind of like, oh, well, this is the perfect stepping stone into a lot of people can't, like, I would say San Diego Comic-Con is one of those ones where you're like, and you'll see next month, Alana.
Yeah.
It's, you can't walk in there. Like, you can't move. It is
that
physically.
That sounds terrible.
I know. And I think like you and me are shooting a bunch of show floor videos. So that's going
to
be
fun.
Yeah. Imagine. Yeah. Brian, I want you to go to Gamescom so badly.
I love Gamescom. Yeah.
But it's so terrifying.
It is terrifying.
Yeah. So I think a lot of, I mean, if you have 25 conventions a year, you have all these different places where people can get in and try this stuff out for the first time. Instead of this big buildup and this culmination at E3, like, scatter it out throughout the year. So I think, like, all of the shows are going to get a little bit bigger, and E3 is going to get a little bit smaller.
Well, maybe E3 will just adapt to being more community-focused like it is. Like, maybe it'll just more heavily get into that instead of being what it is right now.
Sure. I think E3 could almost become sort of like how all the networks do upfronts, or how you have, like, the TCAs. Like, the way the television industry works is that when they're ready to make their big announcements about their upcoming lineups, like, it's across the course of, like, 2 weeks, and everyone sort of has a day. Like, I think E3 could sort of become something more along those lines, where it's not like a, hey, we fly to LA and just do this like one day where it's a bunch of press conferences. Like, I think it could become sort of, hey, summer is for announcements, and kind of everyone takes their turn.
Well, it's like, I love E3 because, like, I'm a multi-platform, damn near platform agnostic gamer. You know, I mean, I do almost all of my third party gaming on PS4. But PSX was awesome for me because I'm like, as a PlayStation guy, I'm walking around, I'm seeing everything that's coming to the platforms that I own and cherish. E3 is cool because it's like, oh, I also have a Wii U and Xbox One, so these are like little things that I'm also going to play on those consoles. But for somebody that like only has a PS4, E3 is like two-thirds a waste of time. You're basically getting information that you're just going to use to make fun of people for, or it's mostly just ammo for the console wars. Mm-hmm. Whereas PSX, it's like, if you only have a PS4, go to PSX and play all the games that you're going to be playing for the next year.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, go in the weird deep corners and play those indie games that you're going to be complaining about when you get for free on PlayStation Plus in a year, you know?
And that's why BlizzCon, like, I don't play any Blizzard games, but going to BlizzCon was incredible just because it was everybody there wanted to just see that stuff.
That was like Star Wars Celebration for me. Like, I'm like,
there's,
I love
QuakeCon.
Yeah.
MineCon. MineCon.
Don't say that.
There's a Halo one.
It always sounds really bad when people say
MineCon. MineCon? Yeah. It's not a good name.
Sounds like Mein Kampf.
Yes. I was thinking, is that because of Hitler? But I didn't want to say
it's
that out loud.
It's always because of Hitler.
So.
Yeah.
It's because of Hitler.
Okay, you were like, I didn't want to say that, and then you did.
Well, he prompted it. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
The preempted Hitler. Brian.
Hey.
What time is it?
It's time for Rapid Fire. Every week, we go on the podcast beyond Facebook. What? Don't tell them what the actual time it is. Then they'll know.
Every week,
you go on the podcast beyond Facebook group, which is facebook.com/group/podcastbeyond.
Or the YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/IGNbeyond.
Or?
Yeah.
There's nothing else.
Beyond
at IGN.com. Email beyond at IGN.com.
Where we ask you guys questions. Yeah, subscribe to that YouTube channel because we're going to start going in
there. We're just about to hit 12,000, I think.
That's awesome.
Well, 13,000.
Brian's
going to
send a personalized letter to every single one.
And
with a big, doc.
How are you going to get all our addresses?
I don't know. I guess I'll just have to leave
comments.
Are
you going to dox these guys?
Subscribe to our YouTube page and get a good doxing from Brian Altano.
Yeah, just send me your social security numbers and your car. Just the whole thing. Please put the keys in an envelope and clean it first. I don't want any like Coke cups in the backseat. Get it together. If I'm going to steal your car, I'm going to steal a clean car. I'm not stealing a Philly. Anyway.
We have nine minutes till we get kicked out.
Great. So we go in these groups and all these wonderful places. We ask questions and you give us even better questions in return. It's so weird how that works. Matthew Arrojas says, who's the most stylish person at the IGN offices?
Miranda Sanchez.
Yeah, that's a solid answer.
Yeah. She's very good at that.
Yeah. Max has his own brand of style.
Yeah.
He definitely has his own brand of style. Mm-hmm. I feel like Chastity's pretty stylish. Yeah. He's our Snapchat producer.
Jeremy Parrish used to be the one guy who actually dressed up nice here.
Yeah.
He would wear suits.
Yep.
And hats.
Jose usually wears a button-up shirt.
Yeah.
I like how that's the bar when it comes to guys.
I know.
That dude wears
a shirt. Buttons, like, Brian has a button-up shirt. He didn't button it, though.
Hey.
Speaking of Italy.
Thomas Rogers says, if you could steal one Nintendo franchise and move it to PlayStation, which one would you guys choose? Beyond, the answer is Zelda. Come on.
Yeah, it's Zelda. You're right.
Animal
Crossing.
I don't know if I need, like, that running in the Uncharted 4 engine.
Yeah.
With, like, Blathers, the owl comes out.
Yeah, but
just,
that
like,
running
a real
in the
Ratchet
and Clank engine would be awesome.
Oh,
did
wow,
you
it would.
Some bones in my museum?
That is not how they sound.
I'm a sick bone collector, boy. I look like a real bird.
weird. Is your copy of Animal Crossing possessed?
No, the animals in Animal Crossing are even scarier.
They do not sound like that.
What if on the NX they add voice acting to all those franchises and it all sounds like that?
Did you bring some fish into my store?
Oh, I hate that so much.
Oh, you caught a beetle for me. Here's $400 I can pay my rent now.
It's terrifying. I used to think that was so cute. Now I'm just going to
like... Not anymore. And they're bleeding from their mouths.
The actual real answer is Earthbound because God knows Nintendo isn't doing anything.
Yeah, it's true.
Mm. Preach.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how gorgeous the new Zelda game looks, but it could always look better on the PS4 or the Neo.
You know what? You know what's weird about Neo? I just thought of if anyone upgrades their PlayStations, they're not going to be able to take PT with them.
Yeah. Oh, gasp.
Oh, gasp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the word. Imagine if it said that in at the end of the Neo commercial.
Now gasp.
I hope it's still the same shape because if they announce a Persona 5 PS4, I want to buy it. But then if I buy Neo, I want to be able to switch the faceplate from the Persona 5 one to the. Mm.
Incognito, real name, says, what fairly popular movie do you find absolutely insufferable?
Batman vs. Superman.
No, everyone hates that, though.
Yeah.
No, that's not true.
I hate Gladiator. I hate Braveheart.
Gladiator's not a good movie.
Won the best picture, didn't it?
Best part of that movie is there's a dude with a beeper.
Yeah. You know what movies everyone loves, but I don't? King's Speech.
I've never seen any of the Harold Potter films.
What a weird one to pick on, though.
You've never seen any of the what?
Harold Potter.
Oh, they get Harold Potter.
You should watch those.
The movie about that kid that lives with his parents and they have a microwave. Like, what?
He gets so much mail, though.
You saw the first
2 minutes already wrong.
Of one of them. he slid down the stairs or whatever. They were playing Yak and
Sax.
It's
literally the only time.
We were very drunk that day.
Yeah, I have no idea what happens in those movies. Yeah, somebody was like, man, we should go to... Or you guys were like, we should go to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds great. I don't know anything about those films. That'll be a good time for me.
You would love it.
Oh, look, it's the broom he uses to fly in the third one.
Oh, it's because we were talking about Dear Rita.
Yeah.
There's this guy on YouTube who dubbed the entirety of all of the Harry Potter movies.
Right.
And it's just incredible.
Yeah, we got 30 seconds in, and then the conversation shifted to, what, you've never seen Harry Potter?
Yes.
Rob Will says, what's a typical day off for you guys?
I sleep.
Yeah.
No, I wander around the city. I go drink, go to parks,
see movies.
Yeah, I usually try and do that a little bit with Marty for a little bit. I've been trying not to drink and to be real healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just probably going to stop tonight.
Yeah.
Alcohol.
Yeah, I like to I'll wake up, I'll work on music. Mm-hmm. I'm almost done with my new album. Yay. And then after that, I'll probably just play a video game for a while.
Yeah, I play games on weekends just for fun.
To play games on nights and weekends to sort of catch up.
Yeah,
I play most of my games on the weekends, not at night.
Me too.
I woke up Saturday and Sunday morning and like almost finished Doom.
And it's like the weekend before that we did Uncharted because it was if we get like a copy of a pre-release game and it's like going to people writing the guide and people capturing footage, it's like we kind of steal it away on weekends so that we can get through it basically.
Mm. Yep.
Yeah.
Xavier Manuel Porras says, favorite condiment?
Bruh, mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise?
Yeah,
ketchup.
Dog.
Oh, what?
No, ketchup.
Hot sauce or mayonnaise. Cool mustard?
Okay, so I'm gonna go with either hot sauce or mustard as well, because mayonnaise is like, it doesn't have a range.
What?
There's like, mayonnaise is just mayonnaise. There's no like, oh, this is my favorite mayonnaise.
Well, I actually prefer aioli.
Okay.
That's not
nice. But it's a lot less common.
That's like a nonsense. Yeah, that's not like a... I mean, I guess it is a condiment.
It's a condiment.
It's a condiment that requires preparation, though.
I'm surprised.
I mean,
if someone
had a packaged version.
Yeah,
I'm surprised you're into aioli. I think it's because you work out a lot. Like, you can offset that. If
sure
I have aioli,
thing.
It just sits inside me for like a month and a half.
So, I think it happens in the UK as well as Australia. Instead of having tomato sauce or ketchup with fries or chips, you would usually have mayonnaise instead.
That's a big
but a lot
I,
of places
I noticed that in France as well.
So it's usually mayonnaise or aioli, but it's a lot easier to find mayonnaise than aioli.
What's the difference? Now I'm really confused.
Aioli is a really fancy name.
It's like garlicky.
Yeah, it's like a mixture too. Yeah. It's like a mixture of like
but
oil and
I don't think
stuff.
Of aioli I don't think of aioli as a specific
stroke.
Thing. I think of aioli as like
Die doing what he loves, saying the word aioli.
Aioli, aioli,
I think
aioli.
It's like a thing that can be very different. Like, there's no, like, I don't have a specific taste when I think of aioli.
I totally
we're going to have to properly rapid fire these next few.
Okay, fine. But
why are you being such a snitch? We have 10 minutes.
Mustard for sure.
We don't. They set up. They start live at 3:30.
No, they don't. They start live at 4.
Oh, okay.
Peaceseeker 16 says,
told me up
shut up.
Me.
That's all he said. No. PCSR 16 says, what PlayStation IP would you most likely want to see make the jump to PlayStation VR?
Parappa the Rapper.
Yep.
Yeah.
I want to rap with that dog in virtual reality.
Probably Pottle.
Pottle would be great. Probably Pottle.
Yeah, yeah, Pottle would be great. Or Silent Hill.
I've always wanted like a weird nightmarish 360 version of Lumines.
Oh, jeez.
That's just flying around.
I mean, that's sort of what Thumper was like. I played Thumper on PSVR at PAX, and it was just terrifying. It was like an acid trip.
Yep. Definitely not Alana Pierce says, hey guys, can we find any of you at the cool events happening around the Bay Area this weekend? Love the show except for Brian and Andrew and Marty. Those guys suck.
What about
the men? That's a very interesting comment.
All right.
Yes. I'm going to Fanime this weekend. We're having an IGN meetup on the Saturday. I think it's at 1 p.m., but we'll post that on Twitter and stuff so you can find that out. I'm also DJing that night.
And the three of us will be at Kinda Funny Live, too. You can see Greg, Colin, Tim, Nick, and probably a bunch of special guests at the Something Theater.
Regency
Ballroom. Yeah. That is on Saturday, and there's also a second day on Sunday where they'll have some buds from Rooster Teeth and Let's Play and much of other stuff.
Well,
but you should actually come see me DJ on Saturday night instead.
Yeah. Well, start so there and then go see her.
You can either see one person there, or you can see three people.
Ooh.
Actually, there's going to be a bunch of people there. Miranda's coming. Chastity's coming.
That's three.
All right, you see three.
Frank.
You see four.
There are several whole people.
Cisco, maybe.
Maybe.
Well, do you want to meet some nice, wonderful ladies who have their ish together?
Oh, Callie.
Or, yeah, multiple people who just really have it together, or you just want to see a bunch of disgusting,
sloppy old train wreck dogs-looking
pirate boys.
I did also want to mention, now that it's been announced, and I want to say that I was not in any way asked to announce this, that I'm going home for a convention in Australia that's on July 2nd.
Sweet.
If any Australian listeners,
what's
come to Haven.
And
it's
Oscon.
Called Haven. It's in Mackay.
OiCon.
July 2nd. OiCon. I have a link on my...
Kangaroo.
On my social stuff. I hate you guys so much. It's a really nice video game and pop culture convention.
Kangaroo is a really funny joke. I'm sorry. No? Okay, I guess agree to disagree. I'll laugh on the inside when no one can
hear it. It's because your country is oftentimes associated with kangaroos.
Oh, that is really funny.
Convention guru. The convention
crocodile
guru.
Comedy. That's all the jokes I have about that.
So if you want to see three jokesters, you can go Kind of Funny. If you want to see one real serious girl, you go to Fanime.
There we go.
Are you still looking at the camera? okay, we got to get out of here. That was rapid fire.
Really quick, I just wanted to say congratulations to former Podcast Beyond host Ryan Clements for becoming a father.
Yeah, he made a whole baby.
I don't know how that happens.
When you're real good at the lovemaking, you can create a whole baby.
I guess the stork came with the bag, and you got the kid. So that's a real good thing.
Yep.
That's how I learned they were made. So congrats, man. That's I'm so proud of you.
Seriously.
You're such a good dude. So this is going to be great.
The best dude.
Probably the best human being.
Andrew, making a Final Fantasy 15.
Yes.
That's why I went to Japan.
Marty and Zach and I went to Japan for a week, probably legitimately the best week of my life. And we visited Square Enix, and we saw a bunch of cool Final Fantasy stuff. Mm-hmm. And it is going to be on IGN starting, well, I guess today, when the day this episode goes.
Yeah, so it's already, part one's already live. It's sort of about the journey from Versus 13 to Final Fantasy 15 and the long 10-year road towards making a Final Fantasy game that is...
Yeah. Just getting the greatness back, kind of, like, making it the big JRPG.
And from what we've seen, we went to Japan super stoked to see Final Fantasy, and we left even more excited for it.
Yep.
So that's a very good sign.
Yep.
Awesome. So, yeah, we're done. We did it.
We did it.
Yay. Thank you guys so much.
You can
find everyone on various Twitters. Brian's at Agent Pizzle.
Yeah.
Alana's at Charlanazard. Andrew's at Garfep.
Honk, honk.
Honk, honk. I'm at McBiggity.
Watch Up at Noon this week. Yeah. Marty and I are hosting it together. We're going to bring Alana on. We're bringing on. I found a guy in the office who's never... heard of Ninja Turtles.
Mm-hmm.
He's just never... He doesn't even know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be fun.
Yeah.
We're going to make fun of that dude.
Oh. Mark, don't come on! Publicly ridicule him.
Thank you guys so much. That was episode 445. Remember, find us on Facebook. Facebook.com/group/podcastbeyond.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
YouTube.com/IGNBeyond.
Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Email us at IGBeyond@IGN.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can find us on Tinder at John Hamm.
Yep.
With two M's.
Big panger danger.
Bangus danger.
Hungry, hungry hando.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Well,
and on that note.
Hippo fist.
Well.
Lover's Lane.
Beyond.
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 Kissy Con.
Beyond.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my two wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I'm hoping to open up the conversation about balancing careers and family. The one thing I constantly hear successful people say, without fail, is that they wish they'd spent more time with their kids. That's time no one can get back. So I decided to create Business Dad to engage in the conversation about how we're spending our time now, providing a forum for successful dads to share their joys and challenges of being a working parent. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rain Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier. And while this podcast will talk about business and will definitely be featuring dads, I think everyone can learn something from these incredible conversations as we unpack the expectations we all have about careers, relationships, and ourselves. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.